Hi, welcome to Creating Kahana Skills for your customers and partners. My name is Ricky Brundrett. I'm a Senior Program Manager on the Bing for Partners team.
And my name is Christian Liensberger. I'm a Principal Program Manager on the Cortana team, particularly focusing on enabling Cortana for work environments and workplaces.
Okay.
So we have a couple of, in our session today, we will go over, have a quick intro, explain a little bit, the landscape where we are. Then Ricky will go ahead and we will create a business skill for Cortana. And at the end, we have a call to action and, of course, also a Q&A. So if you have additional questions that you would like to get answered, we're here as the experts to help you with get that answered. So to start out, quick question. What percentage of searches are expected to be voice searches in 2020? Okay. Who has a good answer for that?
We got swag bags for the answer. Who said 50? All right, there
All
we
right.
go.
It's going to be 50%.
There you go, you're just swag bag.
So really quick, an overview about skills and what you can actually, who you can reach with the skills kit. So first of all, Cortana has about 145 million users worldwide. 60 million of them are in the US. So if you build skills, you can build for them. User can access skills throughout all the different platforms that Cortana is available on. Cortana is available on iOS and Android. Yesterday you saw, I think it was yesterday, you saw the speaker as well. And every skill you build will be available across all of them. Also, you can build very flexible because, it's built on top of the, skills are built and connected to the bot framework. They're built on top of the bot framework. And there's a new Cortana channel where you can actually go and expose a skill through Cortana that you built in the bot framework. Ricky will have more about that later. And then you can also use Lewis, the Lewis framework to build basically conversational understanding. So we have a whole toolkit around how you actually go and build your own understanding of what the user says and what then happens and how the skill's being invoked and all that with Lewis, which is part of cognitive services, which you might have seen yesterday as well in the keynote, where we have a bunch of services available for you to do really cool things. You can start building your own skill at developers.microsoft.com/Cortana. And reach, as I was mentioning, the 60 million people that we have in the US. Now, in this session, we're going to focus a little bit more around building skills for more work environments, customers, that you have business-to-business kind of relationships and things like that. And so, first of all, I wanted to talk a little bit about the modern workflow with Cortana. So today, if you think about it, there's a lot of line of business solutions and applications out there. They're all siloed. If you want to file your expenses, you have to go to one place. A very good scenario is if you want to take time off, you have to actually go to one system to take your time off. Most likely you have to go to a different system to enter your out of office message. Maybe go to a third system to actually notify your manager or your partners that you're out of office. And so it's all disjointed today, right? And so as we move forward and we think about digital personal assistants, we should start thinking more about people-centric workflows. How do I actually build a workflow that is more around-centered what the user actually wants to do? What's the intent that the user has? So we need to move forward into a world where we think more about intent-based skills and intent-based workflows. So me as a user, I can express and say hey, I'm gonna be out of office from Wednesday to Friday, and the system needs to start thinking about how to connect these different disjoint systems today into one consistent experience for the user so that I don't have to go through all of these different places, but I can use Cortana, personal digital assistant, to take care for me for that, right? And so one of the things when I talk to partners and customers, right, I always see a lot of workflows that people have today, and they just want to add speech to it. But you know what happens if you add speech to a workflow that's not that great? You actually just have a workflow that's not great, a bad workflow, but you have speech in it. Still, you didn't solve actually the problem that the user has. And that's why I'm so much onto this intent-based and think about the end-to-end, think about what the user actually wanted to achieve, and use like the assistant and skills as an opportunity to stitch that together and bring that together, right? The other thing is people and employees and customers, they're more and more on the go, right? So they have their phones wherever they are, and they have like maybe even have just a speaker and they just want to get a quick update about something that's related to work or their personal life. So think about how you can actually start building skills that might use voice first, and there might be more of a conversation that you have, and they use a screen second. Also think about how you can actually build a skill and maybe hand off to a third experience where, hey, I'm just talking to, for example, Cortana, hey, you know, I have this important thing coming up, and she could actually forward and send a mail to, or like notify me on a different device later about this specific kind of like intent that I had, because I have a screen available there for me. And I might not have it in that moment, but think about these kind of like device connections, cross-device. Think about how you can build for that. Now, as we like talk more and more about like skills that are built like within like the enterprise environment, within the work environment, there's kind of like three patterns that we should think of. The first one is like skills that are for consumers, like business to consumer skills. And I think there were a lot of sessions. We have a list in a little bit also about all these different like consumer skills that you could build, all of the ways that you would build these skills, right? So we have examples here like Domino's, Expedia, StubHub. But then the second thing that you can start thinking of is like, how do I actually build skills for my business partners? Like imagine you're like Tact or Office or like other companies out there that actually build services for their business customers. Like think about how you could actually take some of these workflows and make them into skills for Cortana. Like I always have this example, like I like it a lot because it's very complex, like business trouble, right? There's a lot of systems out there that are business-to-business solutions today for me as an employee to book my trouble. But it would be great if there was a skill that could actually help me with that as well, right? So think about these kind of like scenarios. Or as a salesperson, we might buy at the company, we might have a third-party SaaS solution that we bought from somebody else, like, for example, Salesforce, or pick any others, right, Dynamics, CRM. And imagine how these could be skills as well that are available to the people that are working in my environment. The third scenario is actually more about business to employees skills. Like there's a lot of systems that are internal to a company where you could actually start thinking about building skills as well for these. Like we did a little pilot in Microsoft where we started building like skills for our internal like shuttle system. So we have like a mini kind of lift or whatever on campus where you can actually get a shuttle to get from one building to another building. Started building a skill for that. It's actually very, very useful because people today have to go to the receptionist and ask like, for a shuttle, and then they forget the number. They have to go back to the receptionist, ask, hey, what was my number again? And so we built a skill that allows me to order a shuttle, and I can always ask Cortana, hey, when is the shuttle coming? What was the number again? Things like that. And the same, we have also an internal proprietary like time away system where I have to enter my hours that I'm out of office. And then I have to go to office and actually enter my calendar, my OOF message. So we built a skill that allows to tie all of that together. So I can actually just tell Cortana that I'm going to be out of office from Wednesday to Friday, and she puts it into our proprietary time away system. She also blocks my calendar. She sets my OOF message, and she puts a reminder into the calendar when I'm back to check whether, you know, I actually spent all the time away or whether I worked a little bit from maybe my vacation so I can adjust the time away. So it's something where you start seeing how like all these different systems that today I have to like juggle from A to B to C to actually get something done start coming together, and they're all based on this intent that I had. I just wanted to be out of office because I have a vacation planned. And you can start thinking more and more how to bring these things together and make very meaningful business workflows. In today's session, we're gonna mostly focus on B2C and B2B. We will talk more about B2 employees like in a further session and further time, but we wanted to like start focusing on like these two areas first. But you should start thinking about the third area as well as you start building skills and running pilots maybe within your own company. First, Let me show you like one of the productivity skills that we have partnered with TACT that are building a skill right now that allows you to be more productive at work. It's more of a business-to-business scenario as well. So let's roll the video.
Open Tactile.
Welcome to TACT. What can I help you with?
Why is my GE opportunity at risk?
Deep CRM indicates that the 1.7 million GE deal is at risk because one of the influencers listed in Salesforce, Wanda Durand, has changed jobs according to LinkedIn. TACT recommends calling Wanda Durand to find out about her replacement.
Can you find Dave Newton at GE Digital on LinkedIn?
I found David Newton, who is vice president at GE Digital living in San Francisco Bay Area. Would you like to connect with this person on LinkedIn?
Yes.
Great. I have sent a request to connect with David Newton.
What's the latest on the Cisco deal?
The Cisco deal is currently in prospecting stage. The deal is valued at $700,000 and is expected to close on March 29, 2017 with a probability of 10%.
Log a sales meeting for Dave Roberts at Cisco.
Can you give me a summary of the discussion?
David loved the demo, and he's interested in seeing a pricing proposal.
I log the call for you.
So that was an example of like some workflows and scenarios that we work with TACT and like automating some of the sales representatives kind of like day. One of the things here like you saw is like it's kind of like a little bit bringing together what I talked about, like the person was in the car, they don't have a screen, they might just be listening, they might just want to get something logged, they don't have access to the rich system, so they just quickly want to put something in with the call that we had at the end. So it's a very good scenario, a very good example of what could be possible, but this is still only like scratching the tip of the iceberg. So think about how you could go beyond of this. So second question, I guess. What's the percentage of consumer experts companies to offer self-serve? What percentage of consumers expect companies to offer self-service customer support?
Who said 90? All right.
All right.
We'll give him his prize.
It's 90%.
Yeah, 90% of consumers now expect the brand or organization to offer self-service customer support in some way. Remember that because we're going to come back to that a little bit later. All right, so now we're going to talk about creating a business skill. And before you even create anything, you should take time to stop and think about what scenarios do you want to solve and does it make sense to even do it with voice? If it doesn't make sense to do it with voice, if you try just having a practice dialogue with another one of your colleagues, if it doesn't sound natural or if it doesn't seem like something that's any more efficient than your current process, then maybe it's not a good idea. So take time, figure it out, and try to find a scenario where speech can make things easier for your users. Once you do that, create a basic skill just to kind of proof out the concept and build it up from there. And then you can start enhancing your skill with some of the new features that we have exposed to the bot framework through Cortana. And then if it makes sense, depending on what your skill is targeting and what your skill includes, you may want to add authentication. And then finally, you'll want to deploy your skill to your users. So going back to that last stat we just saw about the 90% of consumers are expecting self-service customer support, if we try to think about how is that done today, one of the most common ways is users will go and view a website, and the website will have a frequently asked questions page. And then users will have to search through there and try to find their information. Some web pages might have a search bar in there to do some searching, but at the end of the day, it may or may not be that great. The user has to go and find that that page in the first place. And so, you know, maybe that's something we can improve. So we're going to dive in here and create a very simple frequently asked question skill with Cortana. If I can get the right screen. All right. So if you're not familiar, there's a great tool made by the Cognitive Services team called Q&A Maker. and we've got notifications here. And the Q&A maker, I've already gone in here and set up a nice service. So for those who don't know me that well, I used to work on the Bing Maps team and have a lot of experience there. And I constantly get questions about Bing Maps, whether it be from customers or developers, the sales team, marketing. And even worse is I get the same questions over and over again from the same people over time, because it's easier to ask me than to go and look through our previous conversations. So this is a great scenario for me to have a skill that can kind of alleviate some of this repetitiveness that I have to deal with. So we'll take a quick look at this existing Q&A maker data set that I put together. Essentially what it is just a simple 2D table with questions and answers, very basic. You can go in and type this in manually if you want to. You can point it at an existing FAQ website and just pass in the link, and it'll scrape the site for you and try to clean it all up and get it in there for you. And very simple, very basic. You can set this up in minutes. And at the end of the day, in terms of maintaining it, you can have anyone at your company maintain it. It doesn't need to be a developer. It can be your marketing team or someone else who isn't completely technical. Once you've got all your questions and answers in there, you save, train, and publish it. I've already done that, so we're going to skip that for now. So now we're going to jump in and create a skill from scratch. And so as scratch as you can go, we're going to go in, and there's a bot framework template already available. That's a great place to start when you're creating a skill for Visual Studio. I haven't updated this bot framework template in months, so we're going to start just as if you're someone who's already tried out bot framework. There's already 130,000 people that have already signed up for bot framework, so this may be a common scenario. So we're going to see what's involved there. And we'll give it a useful application name. We'll just leave the default bot application one, because that's very descriptive. And we'll load it up here. All right, well, as that loads, one other thing that we'll take a look at, so if I come back to the settings, and we'll see that we have this sample HTTP request for our Q&A maker. In there, you'll see the subscription key, which is something that we'll need. There's also this information here, which is the app ID. And so those things there we need to pull into our bot so that we can connect to Q&A maker. So we've created this really simple, or we just loaded up this really simple bot template. We go in here, we have a message controller with some default functionality. Before we can connect it up to Cortana, we need to get the latest version of bot framework, because that's where all the new speech functionality has been added. Additionally, since we want to connect to the Q&A maker, we need to pull in the cognitive services library as well. So we'll jump in here to and grab the NuGet packages. And so let's find cognitive services, and there we go. So we'll add that one, and then we'll go to our existing installed ones. All right. So it's going through and adding the packages for us. And we'll accept. All right, and now next we'll go and find our bot framework library that's already been referenced, and we'll upgrade it. So currently I'm on 3.5.5. I want to be on 3.5.8. And actually, maybe the higher versions are available when I tested everything the other day. All right, but we'll go with the ones that I've tested with. All right, so now that's updating the bot framework for me. And so now I'm ready to start my coding. So I mentioned the application key and an IED for the Q&A maker. To save ourselves a bit of time, we're going to toss that into the web config, because that's generally a good place to keep your application IDs and things. And I've grabbed these ahead of time to save some time. And so we've got them in our web config. We're now going to come here and customize remove the default functionality here. And all we need is the connector for doing our reply. And so we're going to generate our response. And so we're going to start off by making a connection to the Q&A maker. So we'll do service equals new Q&A maker service, and fix my spelling mistake here. And we'll pull in the library. And then we'll do a new a maker attribute. And we'll set, actually, I'm typing all this out. I've done this ahead of time. Here we go. We'll copy this in. Save ourselves some time. So now, what this code does here is the first one sets up. And let's get that corrected. The first one bit is just creating a service or making that connection to the Q&A maker using my application ID and key. And then the second line here goes in and queries that service, taking in the text that was passed in from the passed in from Cortana or into my bot. All right, so now we have a result, but we need to do something with the and create our reply. So in this case, and I think I accidentally deleted my reply. Let's get back here for a second. Yeah. Oh boy, not what I was expecting. Create book reply. There we go. Missed a line of code there, and we'll re-reference those and re-reference them. All right, now we're back on track. All right, so now we have this result. We need to do something with that result. So this result is an array of answers so that were matched, ordered by the score. So first we're gonna make sure we have some results. So we go result dot answers does not equal null, and that the results that answer that answers dot count is greater than zero. So before we go in and do all that logic, actually pretty easy enough, we'll just do reply dot speak. So the speak property of the message activity is brand new in the latest version of Bot Framework, which we added for not only Cortana, but for other future channels that support speech through Bot Framework. So for this here, we're just gonna return the first result that came in the answers. And answer, and now we have to handle this situation where we don't have a result. And we'll just say, sorry, I didn't find anything. All right, so at this point here, we've created a really basic skill that ties into Q&A Maker, and I can start asking Cortana, once I've deployed my skill, questions about Bing Maps. So now let's go ahead and deploy this. So we're gonna go through and publish, and we'll publish it to Azure, and yeah, we'll use my free account, and we'll just grab one of these existing ones, okay, and publish. All right. All right, so we've deployed it. We'll grab this URL. So the next thing we need to do is go to the Bot Framework portal and register this our bot. So if I go to my bots and create a new bot, and we'll register. We'll call it Bing Maps FAQ, and we'll call it Bing Maps FAQ again here for the handle. Help with Bing Maps. And we need the endpoint URL, so we pass in that URL plus API slash message, because that's the endpoint for Bot Framework. We should create an application ID and password, or I'm almost certain you have to, so it's a requirement. So here we go, we have an ID. So we're gonna actually toss this into our web config, because there's already a spot for it. So here's the Microsoft App ID, and we'll go through and we'll create a password for our bot. And we'll grab that and toss that into our web config as well. And we'll save that, and we'll actually redeploy the service. And as that redeploys, we'll come back and finish registering our bot. All right, so we don't need to worry about the analytics at this point. I agree to the terms of use. Let's register our bot. And it says correct the errors. Oh, need HTTPS. Simple enough thing to fix. All right, my bot has been created. If I go to Cortana, it still won't work because I haven't added it to the Cortana channel yet. But we can see a whole list of channels that we can add our bot to, from everything from web to Skype to Bing to Cortana and many more. So we'll jump into Cortana here, and we'll add it to our bot to Cortana. So we'll notice a lot of things already get filled in for us, so we don't need to do anything there. We'll grab a nice icon for our skill. And where's the invocation name? We'll change the invocation name. We'll just get rid of the FAQ. We'll just call it Bing Maps to keep it simple. And there's nothing really else for me to do. Everything else got pre-populated for me. We do see some additional features here that we'll look at later in this demo. So we saved the skill. And all right, it's been saved. And all right, we're going to go to that. And we see that it's been deployed to the Cortana channel. So now, since I'm signed into Cortana using the same Microsoft account or email account that I'm in the bot framework, it's automatically deployed to my account. So I have access to it. No one else has access to the skill at this point. But I can go through and test it right away. So, you know, I haven't done anything here, but we're just going to ask Cortana. Ask Bing Maps if it supports offline.
I'll need your permission.
So the first time it asked for permission to use the skill, and I'll grant it.
Oh, there's a problem with the skill you've selected.
And we have a problem at the moment, and bot service failed. Status not found. Okay, that's not good. All right, so we have an issue here. Let's take a quick look. Let's double check we don't need the Cortana one. Where is our settings? And we'll double check, make sure our endpoint is working. Yeah, so we do have an endpoint that's working. All right, so everything should be here. Let's try it again. Ask Bing Maps if it supports offline. Ask Bing Maps if it supports offline.
Oh, there's a problem with the skill you've selected.
All right.
Please try again later.
Okay, we'll try again later then. So it didn't. Normally it would work, no problem, but we have had a few issues today. So yeah, let's continue on. Yep. So, all right. I'll show you right here. Ask Bing Maps if it supports offline.
Oh, there's a problem with the skill you've selected.
So when you...
Please try again later.
Yeah, so when you're using Cortana or Cortana skill, you can go into the Cortana dashboard and enable debugging, which I already have here. And it adds this little reference point here. So if I expand it, we can go through and see the JSON information for the request from the bot. So this is the message that was sent. And looking at it, let's see here. We got all kinds of information. We says, what is it? So yeah, not exactly the best phrase, but we do see the text got sent to the skill. And then the error is the bot service failed with status code not found. So for some reason, it's not finding my skill. Or my bot. If there was another issue and it did respond, we would see that response in there as well. So let's just save changes here. And can you speak up? I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Do you see
So actually, one thing we can do, so this is probably a great opportunity to do it, is you can do remote debugging. And so if we come in here and we go to, let's view Server Explorer, and let's go app through this. And let's see, which one did I put it in? There we go. And attach debugger. All right, well, we'll let it do its thing. As that does that, we'll come back to that in a minute. Let's go back to the presentation here. All right, so once you've created your skill and you have it working beautifully like we just had, you can go through and enhance your skill. And so with Cortana, there's a number of different ways to do this. So one of the first things you might want to consider is adding natural language understanding. And the idea behind that is there's a lot of different ways to say things. So just the simple task of asking for help. Someone might say, help, help please, please help. What can I do? What can I do next? Or, you know, what are my options? And so in order to understand that, you need to create an intent that can understand the multiple different ways, and natural language understanding tools help you do that. So a great one that we have with Cognitive Services is called Lewis AI. In addition to that, there's things, so since we're using bot framework, you have access to those rich bot framework cards. So things like the hero card, the thumbnail card, the receipt card, being able to sign in through the sign-in card as well. You also have different layouts and carousels and things like that. And you can use Markdown to customize the way things are displayed. And so there's quite a few options there. We don't currently support the new adaptive cards that were just announced yesterday, but that's definitely something on our roadmap. Another really cool thing you can do with Cortana Skills is use it to launch in existing apps or deep link into them. And so for this, you might want to launch a web page or and pass in query parameters. You can do the same thing for apps. You can trigger a call. And so there's different protocols already built in or that are standard for doing things like triggering a call, triggering Skype. And so we'll take a look at some of these in a little bit. You can even have it use the old Mail-2 protocol and have it compose an email if you wanted to. One of the other nice things of Cortana is you have access to that rich user profile and contextual information. And so you can get things like the current location, you know, the frequently frequent places that the user travels to, their name, their email, cuisine preferences, and a number of other things. And this list will continue to grow as we develop out the platform. But you can use that to kind of tailor your response or tailor the experience. If you find out, okay, the user is, you know, currently in Washington, D.C., and not Washington State, maybe there's a different response I should be giving to that user. You know, if I have access to their email and they ask for something, so maybe they are asking for cooking instructions and it's quite a long list, it might not be useful to just read them all out from Cortana because it's going to be hard to keep track of. Maybe I'll give them the option to have that sent to their email, and if they want that, I have their email. I could even write a nice response with the, and include their name in it. And send that off. And then one of the other things you can look at to enhance your skills and tie into some existing intelligence services that are out there. So there's a number of services through Microsoft Cognitive Services, such as the Bing APIs, Translator APIs, a recommendation API, or you can tie into the new Microsoft Graph API that was just announced there yesterday. One thing about the natural language understanding, so we're not going to dive into that one today. There's a couple of sessions, actually, that are dive specifically into that. One of the ones that's coming up there is on the screen. I believe that one's tomorrow. So I highly recommend that you go and check that one out. All right, so now we're back to, we're going to see how to enhance our skill. Let's go back and see if we got our remote debugging set up here. And we'll add a breakpoint. So what's happened? So I'm using remote debugging with Azure. So I've deployed it to Azure. I'm using Visual Studio, and all I've done is I've connected to my instance on the server, but since I already have the code locally, I'm able to add my breakpoints locally. I will warn you, if you haven't used this, it is very slow to do remote debugging, but it's a great way to find issues or help debug yourself your issues. So I got my breakpoint here. We're going to see if we can even hit it with our service. If not, then there might be a back-end issue at the moment. Ask Bing Maps if it works offline.
Otto, there's a problem with the skill you've selected.
All right, so
please try again later.
All right, so it's not even making it to our service here. So in that case, it's likely a back-end issue at the moment. I know we were having some issues earlier today. For fun, what's that? Oh, messages. Actually, yeah, you might be right. I probably did. Nice, simple. All right, let's test. Oh, hey, remote debugging works. All right, thank you. I probably should have looked at my demo notes a little closer. All right, so let's stop our remote debugging here so we can get things working fast. Ask Bing Maps if it works offline.
Bing Maps provides offline maps, geocoding, and routing in the Windows.
There we go.
Maps API.
Thank you very much. I knew I'd get applause. I just was hoping it was for me. Yep. Yes. Yes.
What happens if another skill developer is also using Bing Maps?
Right. So at the moment, I've done what's called deploy to self, so it's only available to myself. So anyone else in the role could use that same invocation name, and we won't have any issues. The only time we will have an issue is when I try to deploy it to the world, and at that point, that will actually get caught up or found out during the certification process. So. The idea is if you're using an invocation name, you should probably check to see if it already exists. We do plan to have some of that checks already built in for when you're registering your skill ahead of time so that you don't need to run into this at the last moment. But then, yeah, during the certification process, we will double check to make sure that you don't have that issue where you have two. Well, we actually have accounted for that, so our certification process will weed that out if you try to do that. All right. So back to what we're looking to do right now. We've got our working skill, thanks to the great help we had from the lady over there. I'll tell you what, I'll listen to her first on the next answer because it's a really easy one. so now let's get back to what we're here to do and enhance our skill. All right, so... Right now, it gives us a simple response. What can we do to get more information? So let's actually jump back into the bot framework here and go back to our Cortana channel and edit it. And let's make... There we go. Let's make use of the new user profile information. So let's grab their current location and... from there, what did I call it in my notes? Oh, there we go. Give it a nice, easy current location name. And from here, all we do is press save. Now, the next time I next time I trigger my skill, if we looked into that JSON request, we'll actually see that the user's location is passed into that to our bot. But we're not going to look at that just yet. We're going to actually add some logic to our code to handle this. So one of the first things we'll want to do is kind of just change things up a bit in terms of flow. So we're going to start off and we're going to add some really basic natural language understanding. And we're going to grab the message that was sent in. So the activity dot message. What's going on here? drawing a blank here, to lower invariant. So this here, this text value is just the raw message or the raw thing that the user said. From there, we're going to check to see if that contains the phrase show my location. So what? No, the user can say anything they want. If it contains those three words in that succession, it'll go into this if statement. If all else fails, we'll have it go into our existing Q&A code that we've already written. All right, so we have this area for our code to go into. Now we need to grab that actual user location. So let's pull it out of the channel data, or actually the user contextual information shows up as part of the entities property of the activity rather than the channel data. So let's go in here. So user info equals activity dot entities dot first or default. And let's go e dot type dot equals. And let's go user info. And if we're able to actually get that user info, that does not equal null. Let's do something with that. So now we have that new user info information. Right at this point here, it's just a dynamic object because the user information can change depending on the content. So let's go and get the current location. Location equals user info dot properties and current location. So the keyword I just put in there is the exact word that I typed into the bot framework to give that entity a name. Now we have that current location object. Make sure it's not null as well. And we'll go down here and we'll dive in and try to get the latitude and longitude coordinates for that location. So hub equals current location. And the latitude equals hub dot value w. Capital L, and we'll do this again for the longitude. All right, so now we're able to get the latitude and longitude of that user. There's some additional information that's sometimes provided, so one of the things is the address of where the user is. This isn't always returned, sometimes it'll be null. Probably more often than not, it'll be null unless they're at a common point of interest. But we'll add this in because I got a feeling it might actually work here. And for some reason, let's add a capital A on that address. All right. So this is great. Now that we got that information, we got to do something with that. So let's take a look at one of the new things that you can do with Cortana, which is being able to launch apps. So we're on Windows. There's a great Maps app already on Windows, and it already supports deep linking. So we can actually use this location information and deep link into that application. So we're going to take a quick look at how to do that right now. So we'll create our reply, .speak, equal, here is your location. Nice, simple response. But we're going to create a hero card to give ourselves something a little bit nicer to look at. Dot add new hero card, and we'll set the title to. How come I got that quote in here? Set the title to your location, and no. All right, we got your location. Let's add the text that we want to have displayed, which will be the address, if there is one. If it's null, it'll still work, so it's not that big of an issue. We'll add an image. So this one here, So we're going to use Maps in two ways. We're going to launch the Map app, but we're also going to we're also going to display a map in the card itself. So to do that, we can use the REST services for Bing Maps, and I got a nice little URL already set up here. And so we'll do images.newCardImage. And dollar sign there. And so what this will do is take the latitude and longitude and put it into the request. I also need to pass in my Bing Maps key, which I've got set up here. We'll just make that a property near the top. And what's it not liking? And okay. Got everything set up the way it's supposed to, and I'm seeing an error. All right. Let's continue. Oh, there we are. That's not it. Images. Okay. Oh, I know why. All right. Images is a list of images. Now we're back on track. Of course, it was a message here. Now we're also going to add a button. And with this here, we'll do a new card button or card action. And with this action, we'll have it open a URL. So this is already part of the default bot framework and was there before. I can spell here, show in map app, it will be the name of the button. And for this, we'll use the protocol that's already available through the Maps app for triggering it. And so we're gonna have it set the where equals let and on. And, okay, so something it doesn't like here. What did I miss? Dot to attachment. There we go. So that was very easy, as you can see. We've got our hero card all set up, and it's ready to go through and show us a map of our current location and give us a button that if we press it, we'll launch the map app. So let's go through and publish this, and then we can give it a try with Cortana. Ask Bing Maps to show my location.
I'll need your permission.
All right, we'll give it permission.
Here is your location.
Here we go. We see a map with our current location. We can click the button. It's launched the map apps, and it will show us our location. Thank you. All right. Let's go a little bit further here. Let's see. Let's skip a couple here because I'm running behind. So we're going to go to one that's quite interesting. Having that little bit of map stuff in there is kind of interesting because it's a map-related skill, but the actual essence of what we were trying to do here is technical support. So let's add in a new functionality, which will call our support team. And put two P's there. Helps if I spell it right, especially when I'm doing this. So let's go reply.channelData equals JSON object. But from object. And why is an empty object? Not from object, a new. Hope the wall doesn't come down. All right. So this here is something that's specific to Cortana. So we have the support for if you pass in an action as channel data, it'll actually launch that that protocol or that URL. And so we use launch URI, and we set the URI equal to. And so we're going to use one of those protocols I was telling you about before. So this one here is for tel or telephone. And we're just going to put in a fake telephone number for now. And it might help if I put the word new at the beginning. All right. So we'll publish that. Ask Bing Maps to call support. Ask Bing Maps to call support. And so now it knows that I already had Skype open, and so it's gone through and set it up so I can make a call through Skype. Whenever you do something that's quite significant, such as making a call, you don't want to send them directly into starting a call. You want to have some kind of confirmation. In this case here, Skype already handles that for us, so the user still has to click a button to confirm that they want to make that call. And that just makes for a better user experience to have that. All right, so now we're going to get back to the to our slide deck here. And so we talked about enhancing a skill. Oh, wait, one too far. So in terms of authenticating your skill, there's two options. One is to use the Cortana connected account, which you can configure through the bot framework. The other option is to use a bot framework sign-in card. If you try to use that at the moment, you probably won't be able to get it to work because it's still something we're working on, but it's definitely coming soon. Why would you want to use one over the other? Well, the connected account with Cortana requires the user to sign in right when they first use the skill. So if it's a line of business app, maybe that makes sense. You want them to sign in right away. But if you're building another skill where maybe you want the user, any user, to get access to a subset of the functionality, and it's not until they try to do something at the very end that you want to have them sign in. So maybe like a travel app, you want them to be able to find things, get information, but when they actually want to book the trip, that's when you need them to sign in. So that's where you would want to use the bot framework card. We're going to skip the demo on here because I'm running short on time, but there's a great session that's specific on doing authentication inside of Cortana, and I have them all listed later in this presentation. When it comes to deploying your skill, so far we've been doing just deploy to self. There's two other options at the moment. You can deploy to group, which is a great way to make it available to your coworkers for testing or your friends. And then there's also deploy to world, so if you want to make it available to the current markets that you're targeting, you can do that. At the moment, it's only available for EN-US, but we are planning to increase the number of places that Cortana is available. You can see a little workflow there. That workflow is fully documented as well in our documentation with the exact same image, so we won't dive into that right now. And all right, so we have another great video here.
AI is not the future anymore. It's here. We can use it.
Hi, Ariel. You have two urgent messages. It will take you 2 minutes to complete.
We developers need to follow the stream. Yeah. We need to develop what people need.
You push a button and publish that skill on Cortana Skill Store, and it's boom, available. It's phenomenal.
Cortana has the kind of reach that no other platform has. We've got millions of devices and users that are leveraging Cortana to do their day-to-day job.
Technology-wise and on the support-wise, it is really amazing right now. By partnering with Microsoft, there's nothing more which a small company can't dream about.
Cortana is unique in the way that it's a hybrid platform. You get a visual experience that engages all the senses.
When using bot framework, you are writing the code once. You can now publish it to many different channels.
Microsoft understands developers and technology. If they're happy building on your platform, they can focus on the things that they're really good at.
So it's very easy to go from an idea to building a Cortana skill very, very quickly.
Voice recognition, natural language processing, this is all on the cutting edge. It's good to be here early learning about it together with our partners.
What really excites me about this partnership is the ability to take this dream and make it a reality.
It's all just new space that we're all learning and growing in, and Cortana skills will continue to evolve, and I'm really excited to see where it's going to go.
Let's do this.
All right, so that was just some of the partners that we've been working with and their experiences with creating Cortana skills. So we have one last fun-filled question here, and we'll let that lady over there who helped me out answer first, but what percentage of developers can create Cortana skills? She's not paying attention. Yeah, the answer is 100%. Here you go, sir. You're welcome. So, any of you can create Cortana skills today. Could have created them yesterday, and we already have, I think, 80 people already started creating skills that we noticed yesterday. So we're going to skip this one here. It wasn't specific to Cortana skills, but it was another thing that's cool inside of Cortana. If you take a look at the Power BI blogs, you'll find out that they have some rich features in there for Cortana that are available. So now we're going to go to the call to actions. So first one, go and create a skill using Bot Framework. If you're new to Bot Framework, it's not overly difficult to get started. You saw how easy it was for me to create my skill today. It's just make sure you remember the S at the end of message. And then after that, come check us out at the booth. We're in the AI section, and we're more than happy to talk to you there. I mentioned there's a lot of sessions around Cortana and Bot Framework. Most of them have already occurred, so you have to go to the right recording, but there is one more left tomorrow that you should check out. So we're going to open it up to Q&A, and if you can, go to one of the mics or be loud enough so I can hear you, and we'll be more than happy to answer your questions. Yes?
My question is, outside of Windows, does Cortana have access to content of other applications like Chrome browser?
Did you hear that? I don't know. Can you please repeat that? I didn't hear that.
Does Cortana have access to content rendered in other applications such as Chrome on Android or iOS so that it can utilize it and, you know, do whatever it needs to do?
Right.
Like read out loud the articles from websites on mobile devices.
So at the moment, it doesn't provide any of the device information in terms of if you're using iOS, Android, or Windows, but that is something that we are looking into, because it definitely does make sense where you might want to tailor your experience depending on what kind of device they're on. We do have some information like, does the device have a screen or not? So if you're targeting speaker versus Windows or a desktop, you want to change your response. Yes?
Yeah, you mentioned like you can do like a deep linking.
Yes.
My question is, can I deep linking from one Cortana skill to another Cortana skill and then pass the information around?
Not currently. The whole idea of bots talking to bots is definitely something that we're interested in. When I did the launching of the Skype skill there to do a call, I've also been experimenting with the launching a bot that I had deployed to Skype. And so there's some potential there, but you still have to press the button to send that message. So we're just starting to get there, but I think that's definitely something that we will likely have in the future.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
Great. I know you didn't go too deeply or really at all into the business to employee portion, but I love the idea, however, at least a third of the people in my workplace are on Macs. So do you have plans to have Cortana on Mac?
Good question. Do you know that?
There's definitely like plans, and we're looking at how we can actually bring Cortana to a broader audience. We know that lots of people are also Macs and use Macs, and we want to make sure that Cortana is available to all the endpoints that people could be, you know, using Cortana and to make it available for them. Today it's iOS and Android, but you know, definitely something we're looking in. You're welcome.
During authentication, how long do the states that are passed to your skill remain active?
So how long does the state that's passed into the skill stay active?
Good question. I'll have to get back to you on that one. I'm not quite sure off the top of my head. I'll have to talk to our engineers on that one.
So I know with other bot apps, you can use the channel emulator for testing without actually having to register your bot with the connector service and everything. Mm-hmm. Is there anything similar for testing Cortana skills locally?
Yes. Well, one of the easiest ways is using Cortana directly, like I have been today. But we are looking at making improvements to the bot emulator to also support speech as well. So you can actually use the bot emulator today with your skill that you created for Cortana. And what you won't hear it talk, but you can actually look at the JSON, like click on a message and look at the JSON and see that the speech text was set. So like when I was doing my early testing weeks ago, that's how I was testing before I started using Cortana. Great. All right, so if you have, oh, yep.
How is the pricing, or who is paying for this? If we do Cortana scale for our B2B application, and we will put it on the public, because I suppose that I can't say to only this company will access. So how it's paid? I don't suppose that you will do it for free for us. So what is paid? It's paid just Lewis and these cognitive services, or there's some pricing on this Cortana level two, or how it's?
So that's something that we're still discussing internally, how to monetize this. One of our main focuses is how do our partners monetize their skills. We'll figure out how to make money off of this some way, even if it's just getting you to host your skill on Azure. That's definitely something that we're talking about right now internally, but I don't have any details I can share today on that.
So the other aspect that I seem to have heard, so tell me if I'm right, is that you should think about this similar to like an application you develop. You basically build the bot, you run it, but then during authentication, you could actually check whether this is somebody that licensed your solution or not. And you can give them a polite message saying like, hey, this doesn't work, like, or here, go to the sign up page to actually get more information about how you can actually sign up for the skill. And I think that's a really good pattern for you, how you could actually build a SaaS solution and like expose it as a skill. And we did something similar right now for our internal skill that we built, and one that I mentioned earlier, where we check whether you're a Microsoft employee or not. So just internal for now. I think you could follow a similar pattern for SaaS related skills.
Yeah, just
some estimation when the pricing model will be at least in like preliminary level.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The developer tools themselves are free.
Okay.
According to my manager.
Okay. New Microsoft, I like it. But still, when I came into my boss and say, hey, we'll do this application. Mm-hmm. Nice. We will just pay for workforce. Mm-hmm. And his first question will be, okay, we are selling this solution for, I don't know, $2 per worker on site, and they will use Cortana like 10 times per month, and
right.
It will cost like $5, then we are...
Right. Yeah. So in terms of your cost, it's more so around the hosting. So like the putting it on Azure and having that whatever your hosting cost would be for that traffic.
Yeah.
Your other cost would, if you're tying into intelligent services like Lewis to do the natural language, there'll be some costs around that. If you're using like the Q&A maker, which makes things really easy, but you don't. Yeah, so there will potentially be some costs if you use that. But those are all for the individual services. So you can create our Cortana skill and not use any of those, and it doesn't cost you anything. So it all really depends on your scenario.
It's the hosting and infrastructure, like Azure cost, right, for that.
Makes sense. I just want to know if there is something like additional pay the part between.
Yeah.
Or it gets to
Louis
to complete the services.
Yeah, that's understood. It's just hosting cost for now.
Great.
So today, so the question was whether I can actually like keep Cortana voice recognition just within my infrastructure, right?
Right.
So right now, today, all of the Cortana questions that you ask in voice or if you type, are going to the cloud, and they're going managed to the cloud. The reason for that is that we actually are improving the speech and language understanding models. The other thing is also the cloud version does more than just like, you know, just speech to text. It does also intent, like, hey, what did the user actually mean and what did the user say? And so that's all computed up there, like in the cloud. I think we have desire to actually like make sure that Cortana can run in a more compliant kind of like environment. So do I, like for business customers as well. So we are working on these things.
Yeah.
What resources do you have for like skill discovery for regular consumers? Can you ask Cortana, you know, buy me a skill that has to do with food, or how does it work?
Yeah, so the whole story around skills discovery is something that we're working on. We have a lot of plans, but yeah, we came in hot for getting things ready for build. Currently, we have a web page that lists all the skills that have been certified and released and made available. We'll continue to keep that web page online for now. We do plan on making skills available through the Windows Store in the not-too-distant future. But we are looking at other different ways to make skills discoverable. Does it make sense for Cortana to suggest certain skills when you do certain things? And we're looking at all these different options to kind of figure out what would make the most sense. But that's something we're still discussing internally, and we're still shaping and figuring out. Today, people can find them from the website, and in the not too distant future, the store. And then we'll take it further and try to make them more discoverable as we go on.
And what is the turnaround on publication? Like, let's say I submit it today, what does that look like?
So the question is, what's the turnaround time for publication and certification? If everything goes smoothly right now, we're targeting to be able to get your skill published in under a week. If there's issues, then we'll go back and forth and discuss with you to figure out how to get those resolved as quickly as possible. A lot of the skills that have been published up until now got published quite quickly. Some of them were published in a day or two. But again, at that point, we were working with a small set of partners. I'm sure we're getting a lot more skills coming in as we speak. So it all really depends on the flow at the moment, but we are working on streamlining that certification process. So it might be a bit slow for the first little bit, but it'll get faster as we go on. Yes?
What about analytics? If I can, can I see what kind of questions are asked for my skill? What kind of success rate do I have with my skill or anything
right.
like that?
Yeah, so there are a couple. Yeah, so the questions around success rate and what were the questions the users saying? So there's a couple of things. So if you use Lewis.ai for the language understanding, it'll actually capture all these questions, and the ones that don't match anything will get stored somewhere, so you can go through and review those, and kind of get some insights in that. And there's some analytics around Lewis.ai, so that's a good place to start. We definitely are looking at adding analytics in to Cortana skills so that we can go through and provide deeper insights around things like that. So, where did it fail? What are the common conversation flows that users go through or workflows they go through and things like that? I don't have a timeline for when we'll have that in there, but that's definitely something that we're talking about and do plan to add in. Okay. All right.
Yeah, we can take it offstage.
Yeah, let's take it offstage because we're running, we're overrunning. If anyone wants some stickers, we got plenty.